Welcome back. In this advanced lesson, we're dialing in a serious low-end monitoring workflow for clean drum and bass mixes inside Ableton Live. And yeah, this is a big one, because in DNB, the low-end is not just part of the mix. It is the mix. If the kick and sub are fighting, if your room is lying to you, or if your checking process is inconsistent, the track might sound huge in your studio and then completely fold on a club rig, in the car, or on headphones. So today we're not doing vague advice like just use reference tracks or EQ the bass a bit. We're building an actual system, a repeatable workflow that helps you hear sub balance clearly, spot kick and sub masking, compare mono and stereo low end properly, level match references, and test whether your bass still works on smaller speakers. The goal is simple. Cleaner decisions, faster decisions, and way more confidence. This approach is especially useful if you make Reese heavy neuro, dark rollers, jungle with sampled breaks and sine subs, or halftime with massive low-end weight. Basically, any style where the bass has to feel dangerous but still controlled. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a clean master setup, a separate monitoring rack, a better reference workflow, multiple listening views, and a reliable way to judge kick placement, sub consistency, phase, mono compatibility, and drop density. So let's build it properly. First, the core philosophy. Your monitoring chain is not your mix chain. That idea alone will save you from a lot of bad exports and a lot of bad decisions. Mix processing is part of the song. Monitoring tools are temporary listening aids. They are there to help you inspect the mix, not become the mix. A very common mistake is throwing analyzers, mono tools, low-pass filters, speaker simulation, and all sorts of test devices directly on the master, then forgetting what's active. That gets dangerous fast. So in Ableton, keep your master as honest and minimal as possible. Then build a separate monitoring workflow. If you want speed, you can place the monitoring rack at the very end of the master chain, but label it clearly. Something like export off, monitoring rack, and color it bright red. Make it impossible to ignore. That little bit of discipline is huge. You want your system to protect you from yourself. Now let's set up the master chain. For low-end work, your mix bus should be transparent. You want to hear what's actually there, not what a stack of processing is flattering. A solid mixing master chain is spectrum first, then utility, then maybe very light glue or compression only if you truly mix into it intentionally, and then your monitoring rack at the end, disabled by default. On spectrum, use a larger block size around 8192 or higher, so you get better low-end resolution. Set averaging to medium or high, and use a range around negative 90 dB to 0 dB. Also, expand the device so you can actually read what's happening down low. For drum and bass, keep an eye on a few zones. Kick fundamentals often sit around 45 to 70 Hz. The sub buy is often around 40 to 60 Hz depending on the key. Mud and boxy buildup tends to show up around 120 to 250 Hz. Then your res bite and movement usually live above that, often from around 300 Hz up into a couple of kilohertz. But here's the teacher note, spectrum is there for confirmation, not leadership. Do not start mixing to draw a pretty graph. If your ears and the analyzer disagree, don't panic and trust the picture. Recheck on headphones, compare with a level matched reference, test in mono, then look again. On utility, keep the gain at zero by default. Use it for level control and mono checks. If your setup allows shortcuts, assign a quick way to toggle mono. You want checking low-end mono compatibility to be fast, not annoying. Now for the fun part, the monitoring rack. At the end of the master, create an audio effect rack and name it low-end monitoring. Inside that rack, create 5 chains, full mix, subfocus, mono low-end check, small speaker check, and reference tilt check. You can switch them with the chain selector or just activate them manually. Either way is fine, as long as the workflow is quick enough that you'll actually use it. Chain 1 is full mix. This is your neutral listening path. Just put utility on it, gain at 0, width at 100%. No tricks. This is your baseline. Chain 2 is subfocus. This is one of the most useful checks in the entire setup. Add EQ8, then utility, and optionally spectrum after that. In EQ8, use a low pass around 120 Hz and high pass around 25 to 30 Hz. Use deep slopes if you need clear isolation. Then on utility, set width to 0% so you're hearing that band in mono. You can adjust gain slightly if the filtering changes the level too much. This chain lets you strip away hats, vocals, tops, and all the distraction, so you can really hear the relationship between kick punch and sustained sub. and while listening here, ask some very specific questions. Does the kick poke through clearly? Are the subnotes even from note to note? Do certain notes suddenly boom because of pitch or register? Do the bass tails run too long? And most importantly, does the groove breathe, or is it just a solid wall of low energy? That last one matters a lot. A low end can be technically loud and still feel weak if it never creates contrast. Advanced note here, watch crest behavior, not just frequency balance. In other words, don't only ask how much bass there is, ask how the bass moves over time. Is it too flat and constant? Are kick hits creating enough contrast? Are some notes jumping out much harder than others? Sometimes the issue isn't too much 50 Hz. It's too much continuous 50 Hz. Chain 3 is mono low-end check. This one is critical for clubs. Add EQ8 or multiband dynamics if you prefer, then utility, then spectrum. A simple version is just low pass around 150 Hz in EQ8, then set utility width to 0%. Now you're hearing the low-end region in mono. This audio version is shortened for playback.